I'm gonna share a message that that I shared at the mission, or at least kind of a similar form of it. Kind of like at the mission, you're all kind of I'm the one that's between you and lunch today. But at the mission I get an hour, so we try not to do that here to you. But let's go ahead and open in a quick prayer. Dear Lord, I'm so thankful to be here today. Lord, you've collected these lost sheep and brought them together to hear your word today. Lord, you've shepherded us and protected us and cared for us in ways that we don't even recognize. Even in the midst of our self-reliance, Lord, you've been there. And Lord, I'm just, I ask that today as we walk through what it means that you're our shepherd, that you'll help us to see our need for you. You'll help us to better understand that the depth of your grace and your mercy and your care. Lord, please ask that your spirit would be working in our spiritual hearts, Lord, to open our eyes and our ears even more and really grow us and change us in Christ. Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I'm still got a little bit of recovering from COVID to do, I guess. My throat, it's been a while. So a little bit different than I guess what we would normally do. So, you know, we kind of work very verse by verse, expositionally through. We don't do a lot of topical stuff, but this is going to be a really topical sermon. And I feel like I can kind of get away with bouncing around all of these verses because a lot of them, you already know the context. You already have a good sense. You've heard them. Probably not going to touch a verse today that you don't have kind of planted in your heart already. As we kind of look into here, you know, maybe a question for these guys in the front row, these kids here. Do you guys remember how long ago it was that Jesus was walking on the earth? Do you have any idea how long ago that was? Okay, anyone? About 2,000 years ago, right? And so, but here's a question that you might not know, but I'll have to look for an adult. When they announced the birth of Jesus, do you remember who they announced it to first? The shepherds, yeah. Right? And so it's kind of interesting because they didn't come to noblemen. They didn't come to kings first. They came to shepherds, which is so fitting in a number of ways, especially when you think that Jesus came from a long line of shepherds, right? He came from Abraham and Isaac, Judah, David. And like his forefathers, this might surprise you for a second, but Jesus was a shepherd. But see, not that we know of sheep, like his forefathers, but he didn't lead sheep necessarily, he led people. In Hebrews chapter 13, and I will tell you, there's a couple of passages we're going to turn to, but so that we don't have a whole bunch of Baptist air conditioning today, we'll go to a few select ones, but I'm going to quote several of them. So we've got, see Tim laughing, you know, my, sorry, yeah, spinning the pages. But in Hebrews chapter 13, we get this metaphorical title of Jesus, the great shepherd of his sheep. And just as Jesus' forefathers tended, you know, tended sheep in Israel, Israel is in the setting of Jesus' arrival, we still had shepherding, and that kind of shepherding is still done today. And I think it's helpful for us when we step back a little bit and we kind of think about it, because like we're pretty disconnected from shepherding. I mean, I don't know if you do a lot of farming, but there's the kind of shepherding you see with the Bedouins out in Israel. It's just not something we really see around here. And so when we kind of get a chance to look at that, it helps us get a better picture of what the Bible is saying about our Savior. And so one of the passages that I think always comes to mind when we talk about the shepherd, and I'm not going to touch on every bit of it today, but I definitely encourage you to read it this week with some of these things in mind, is in Ezekiel chapter 34. And if you remember in Ezekiel chapter 34, we see here is the Lord chastising these shepherds, right? The shepherds of Israel, they have taken advantage of the people. They've led the people astray. And God is starting to let them know, like, you're done for. My people are lost. They have no shepherd. They're wandering. They don't know where to go. And he begins to talk about how he's going to be the shepherd for his people. And he says, at the very end of the chapter, he says, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture are people, and I'm your God. And so when we look at the shepherding that takes place in Israel, it helps us begin to better understand our own relationship with the one that the Apostle Peter, y'all remember from 1 Peter, called the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So I am going to go ahead and flip to John chapter 10. We're going to spend some time in John chapter 10, if you want to kind of mark that. And I'm just going to start in verse 4. John chapter 10, verse 4. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but they flee from him because they do not hear, they do not know the voice of strangers. There's an apologist that I enjoy listening to. His name is Michael Ramson. And he was over in the Middle East. He was doing some mission work. And he tells a story of how they're out in they're kind of out toward, kind of in a wilderness area. And it's getting around lunchtime. And a shepherd walks in, kind of brings his flock into this area, and kind of parks it, if you will, if you can park a flock. Parks a flock. And he goes over and he sits under a tree and he starts kind of opening a bag for some lunch. And then pretty soon another shepherd comes in, and his sheep come into the area where the other sheep are, and they all kind of start hanging out, and the guys sit down and they're having lunch, and then pretty soon another shepherd comes in. And he's watching all of these sheep start to merge together in these flocks, and he's thinking to himself, how are they going to get those sheep untangled? How are they possibly going to know how to get them apart? And he's like, and so his friend's like, well, let's just hang out. Let's just grab some lunch here and let's hang out and let's just watch to see what happens. So pretty soon the guys finish lunch and one of the shepherds gets up and he walks out about 30 yards from all of these sheep and he calls them. And all of a sudden you see these sheep unravel and his sheep come out and start following him. Then the second one walks out and he's about 30 yards from the sheep and he calls his sheep and pretty soon they break out from the others and then the third takes his sheep. Because the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. So what we see is shepherding is about calling and following. Think about that. Shepherding is about calling and following. So the sheep know the voice of the shepherd and they instinctively follow him. It's really important to note that this act of following is an act of protection. It keeps them alive. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. So sheep, they don't know where to find good pasture. Have you ever seen a sheep? Like, they're not the smartest of critters, right? And so they don't know where to find water or good pasture. They don't know where to find shelter or protection. And metaphorically speaking, this is what our relationship with Jesus looks like. It's like human souls that are following the voice of the only one that actually knows where to lead them, kind of like you were talking about earlier, right? So often we get tangled up and we're just kind of paying attention to our own stuff, but it's really the Lord is the one that leads us and calls us to protection, to relief from anxiety, all of those things when we look to him in faith. So metaphorically, sorry, I'm going to skip that. So back to John chapter 10. this passage that I think even like all the little guys got it, probably even know this one. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. It's important there. I know them and they follow me. In Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, how is it that Jesus calls Andrew and Peter?
Follow me.
Come follow me, right? So, for most of the year in Israel, so let's set ourselves back in Israel for a minute. For most of the year in Israel, if you've been there, I mean, they've kind of built out some great farming areas, but a lot of Israel is just really desolate, right? It's just kind of deserty and food is pretty scarce, especially for feeding flocks. And so these shepherds have to lead their flocks pretty large distances in order to keep them fed. And there's this short time, it's kind of interesting, there's this short time after the rainy season where the fields get really lush. It's really only under these circumstances where the sheep get an opportunity to lay down and rest. The shepherd will take them in, they're able to eat, they don't have to travel a long distance, they can kind of lay down and rest. And in the Bible metaphor, food is God's truth, right? Jesus taught that the food that every soul lives on is every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so I think back to, and let's turn there, John chapter 6, 35, we're close enough. John chapter 6, starting with 35. Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will not thirst. But I said that you have seen me. Oh, sorry, I didn't need to go further on. Hang on, let me see. Yeah, we'll come back to that. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And the shepherd David wrote about this in his own relationship with God in Psalm 23. I'll read a little bit there. You're happy to flip back there if you want. Actually, I think I'll turn there. I got it bookmarked, so it'll be easy for me. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Right? That's exactly what we're talking about, this period of season where these sheep can get some rest. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the other thing is that if you kind of go to Israel and you kind of get out in the remote areas where they're shepherding, you're going to find out there's not really a lot of water. And the way that they get water for the animals is they've got these deep wells and they'll get a bucket down there and they'll pull water up. Well, the shepherd has to get the water. The sheep are not going to get water on their own. They have to have the shepherd do it for them. And in the Bible metaphor, what does water represent? The Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit living water, and he promised that anyone who drank of it would live forever. And anyone who wanted to drink the Holy Spirit had to rely on who? To get it for them. Jesus. Because he was the only one that could give it to them. Back in John chapter 7, verse 37, we remember the words of Jesus, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Another interesting thing, when we go back and we look at kind of the Israel picture, like what's happening there when we have shepherd, is that these sheep, not only can they not get water and not find food easily, right? But they're completely helpless against their enemies. Anybody know who the biggest enemy of the sheep are in Israel today? Just like 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here? Wolves. Nailed it. It's the wolves. The Bible describes wolves as being ferocious and savage. And despite, it's interesting, I was thinking, so if you think about a gazelle, right? How does the Bible describe gazelles? They're swift, man, they're fast, they can get on it. But they can't escape the wolf. If a gazelle is not going to escape the wolf, how's a sheep going to do it? Right? So, interestingly, though, this raises a great question. Like, how do sheep get protected from wolves? Well, in Israel, right? Well, the wolves, they're scared of people. They smell them, and they stay away from them. And so, the only thing that's really protecting those wolves is the presence of a human. And we see some interesting parallels when we see back in Psalm 23. If we continue on in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. In other words, David's protected from his spiritual enemy by the presence of the Lord. And of course, in the shepherding metaphor here, the wolf represents our spiritual enemy. In John chapter, back in John chapter 10, verse 10, let's see here. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come so that you may have life abundantly. The devil and his demons are terrified of Jesus. Like the wolf is scared of the human. The devil and his demons, they're terrified of Jesus. Jesus comes in, the demon sees him, and it's like, have you come to torture us before the appointed time? And so, being in the presence of Jesus protects us from spiritual evil. And there's something else that shepherds use to protect themselves, to protect the sheep from wolves. So, nighttime is like the most vulnerable time for the sheep, right? There has to be some kind of protection. And so what the shepherd will do is he'll take the flock and he'll kind of direct it all into this area surrounded by these rock walls, right? And you'll see these little rock pins in Israel. It's really interesting, you know, the big stones, and they're stacked, you know, stacked stone. I remember when we were in Greece, just thinking like all of these miles and miles of stacked stone fences, how much time that must have taken. But really, like, and you could see some were just really like just property borders. These are a little bit taller, okay, that they're using over there. And so the sheep pen protects the sheep from the wolves in the nighttime. And in the biblical metaphor, the sheep pen represents heaven and eternal life. And I'm going to expand on that a little bit. So the way that the sheep pen is designed, it's got kind of a narrow opening to it. And what happens is the shepherd kind of will get in and he'll kind of turn himself sideways and sit down in this narrow gate, right? So nothing's getting in or out unless it goes through who? The shepherd. So Jesus said in John chapter 10 here, John chapter 10, 7, he says, I'm the gate for the sheep. Skip to chapter 9, he says, I'm the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. So just as sheep has life with the shepherd, the human soul has life with God. And the Bible describes the soul that's separated from God as being like a what? A sheep without a shepherd. In Psalm 119, 176, I always have to check my notes when I read that because it's such a big psalm. It says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. So let's go back to Israel. I just want you to kind of try to picture this in your mind, right? So here's the flock, And this sheep kind of wanders off. And I was telling Steve about this documentary I watched on sheep and kind of really, and it was just fantastic. You see the sheep kind of wander away, and he gets about, I don't know, 7,500 yards away from the rest of the flock, and he actually turns around and he looks at the flock and the shepherd. He knows. He knows what he's doing. And he turns and he goes off. And what's around the corner? The wolf. It's hard to imagine, but most lost sheep, they get that way. They choose that. They choose that path. And so the sheep fleeing from the human presence that protects it, without the shepherd, he's not finding water. He's not going to find food, probably. He's certainly not going to survive overnight with the wolves. So the penalty of this kind of a choice is death. In Isaiah 53:6, we all know this passage. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way. So without a shepherd, that sheep, again, he's not going to live long enough to die of thirst. The wolves are going to get him. And that's why the Bible describes lost sheep as being food for wild animals. In Psalm 49, verses 13 through 15, the idea of it is, I didn't list out the whole verse, but it's the fate of those who trust in themselves. They are like a sheep destined to die, right? Death will be their shepherd, is what the psalmist says. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. See, the one thing, the reason I can get away, I always feel like I can get away with a sermon like this where I'm just pulling verses from here and here, is this isn't like, this theme is from the beginning of the book to the end. There's a few themes like that. It's you start out, I'm going to show you here in a little while toward the end, this idea developing in Deuteronomy, if I have time, right? And working all the way down to where we see this passage in 1 Peter. So the Bible tells us that sin is choosing our own way, right? So that we can do what we want rather than following God. And so that sin separates us from God. And the penalty of sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. The lost soul is helpless. And they're a lost soul. The only hope a lost soul has to live is if its shepherd will seek it out and will find it. And rescue it. I guess I need to add that part. I missed my note there. Rescue it. Right? And remember Jesus telling the story of the shepherd that goes out to get, won't he leave the 99 to go get the one? Picture this. So that, just think about it. Back in our Israel picture, the shepherd leaves his flock, he goes, he finds the one that's lost, and he starts calling it and leading it back. Maybe it's little, he picks it up and carries it. I've actually seen video of these guys trying to carry the sheep, and I'm like, you're in way better shape than I am. Back in Ezekiel chapter 34, excuse me. I think I'm in verse 11, hopefully. Otherwise, I will improvise. For thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day. When he is among scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them in the mountains of Israel by the streams and all the inhabitants of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel, and they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. In this passage, we see God says that his sheep have become food for wild animals. There was no shepherd. He himself will become the shepherd of the sheep. He will seek the lost and bring back the strayed. And in fulfillment of this passage, what did Jesus say? For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Whoever hears my words and believes has crossed over from death into life. It's amazing. Jesus said, a time is coming and will now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. That's John 5:25. That's not too far from Jesus calling Lazarus out of a grave. And what happens when he calls Lazarus out of the grave? He gets up and comes out of the grave, a dead man. Wow. So let's consider the birth of a baby sheep. Baby sheep's over here, he's lying in the grass. Right? Shepherd's got a big flock. If the shepherd does not hear the sound of that little sheep and wanders off, that sheep has no chance whatsoever. I love this quote. Shepherding is a relationship between the many who are weak, depending on the one who is strong. It's a relationship based on grace and mercy and trust, a relationship of tender care and love. Now, there's some tactics that shepherds use to make sure that the sheep follow. But in the end, some of those things can't really be forced. That sheep chooses to be with the shepherd or not. And in the end, every soul has to choose death from life. Or they should choose life, I should say. Choose between life and death. In Matthew chapter 35, verse 32, it says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And in the Bible, this Bible shepherding metaphor, the sheep represent these souls that choose God, and the souls that don't choose him are the goats. Not totally sure why. It's been proposed that it's because goats are a lot stronger than sheep. I don't know. When I go to the zoo, I mean, the sheep can get a little aggressive, but have you seen the goats? Man, those things are up on the fence and they're about to rip the food out of your hand. It's not hard to picture sheep, goats as being evil. But if you go to, just look at those eyes. Come on, is it just me? So if you look at to Israel, right? One of the things that, well, let me say this really quick. I want to go back and say in Matthew 25, verse 33, he will put the sheep on his right, my right, and the goats on his left. Okay? So in Israel, many of the Bedouin own both sheep and goats. Okay? And so, but when you notice, when they're out with their flocks, they're almost always sheep or goats. You don't usually see both sheep and goats together. And a lot of that's because they've got to go out, and you know, the goats, they're stronger, they're tougher. They can go up into the hills and the rough areas, and they can feed up there. And so the sheep, they're a little bit less capable, so they keep them down in more of the gentle valleys. And so while they're over here, you don't want to like have your goats eating all the food that only the sheep can eat when the goats can kind of go, they're more capable to go somewhere else. So basically in the morning, when the shepherd's getting ready to go out, he'll separate the sheep and the goats. And they'll have two different shepherds kind of take them off in different directions. This process of separation is what Jesus figuratively he uses figuratively to describe what the final day of judgment will be like. So I want to kind of hopefully, sorry if I got a little bit off my notes there, but kind of connect the dots there for you. So in Matthew 25:46, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, what does it say? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So, Jesus says to the souls of people, basically, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says, come follow me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide that leads to destruction, but the gate is but narrow is the gate that leads to life, and only few find it. No one, he says, comes to the Father except through me. Right? I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. So remember I said, let's just pop back to the beginning for a minute. Let's see how this fits. I'm going to go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let me rip this out of context for you guys. I'm okay with it. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death. I mean, you have to really understand this for a second, guys. If this hasn't sunk in, I really want to stress this, that this is God saying, choose between life and death. This isn't like just words on a page that you read and skip over. These are words where God is telling human beings, you and I, choose life, not death. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, or you and your children. And yet, the culmination of any of this goes all the way to the end. In 1 Peter 2:25, you heard me say it before, it says of Jesus that he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Not you might be healed. Not, go get yourself. By his wounds, you are healed. For you are like sheep who have gone astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So as you go back maybe this week and you look at Ezekiel chapter 34. Keep that first verse in 1 Peter in mind and think about how those sheep work in Israel if you were to go over there today. Just like it did 2,000 years ago. Let's pray. Lord, what a shepherd you are. You're the only shepherd I know that gave his life for the many so that we could have eternal life. Lord, we didn't deserve it. We were quick to go astray. The wolves were surrounding and you rescued us. And Lord, I pray that if anybody here has not seen the truth of this, that you will show it to him through these pictures and imagery of the sheep and the shepherd. Life and death. Protection. Food and water. Lord, your grace is, we can't even fathom it. It's unimaginable, but Lord, we see it every day in our lives. Lord, help us to recognize it. And Lord, help us to be quick to go to others and share the message of Christ so that they begin to hear his call to follow them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
So now we have the opportunity to